this morning. Beginning with one verse of scripture, if you believe it's the truth before I read it, say amen. It's found in James chapter 1 and verse 17, and it says, whatever is good and perfect comes down to us from God our Father. Whatever is good and perfect comes down to us from God our Father. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject, God is a good God. I've got to say immediately, I know it's cliche. We all say it. God is a good God. God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. It's become cliche and just words that we may have lost the power that they contained. Today we regain it. I want to tell you a history of this phrase in modern times. Now, God has always been good. There's never been a time God wasn't good. He is good not only to his own people, but he's good to people who don't even believe he exists. He's that good. But this phrase, God is a good God, that we take for granted, that we've always known is the truth, and we've repeated it several times every day all of our lives, this phrase came to us at a cost. Somebody had to pay a price for introducing this revelation to the modern church. And that man was Oral Roberts. Now, when I was a boy, and you know how old I am, when I was a boy growing up in a great church, a Pentecostal church, we weren't that large, but it was our world, our church, and our worship experience. I knew who Oral Roberts was. My grandparents were partners of his ministry. My parents watched him on television, even went to his crusades when they could. I grew up knowing who Oral Roberts was. He was a powerful evangelist. He believed in miracles. There is a great university in Tulsa today that bears his name. And he's raising up students to send all over the world to complete the Great Commission. And Oral Roberts in the 50s wrote a book called God is a Good God. And it so shocked many in the Christian world. They were appalled that anybody would say, God is a good God. This book came out in the 50s, and when he started preaching this message, God is a good God, even Pentecostals and full gospel people, of whom he was one, turned against him and got upset with him for saying, God is a good God. You can Google and get this off the internet. Kenneth Hagin Sr., who was a contemporary of Oral Roberts, tells the story about some ministers who came to see him, Kenneth Hagin, to complain about Oral Roberts preaching this revelation, God is a good God. And one of them said, and this is Kenneth Hagin Sr.'s writing, it makes me mad, one of the ministers told him, it makes me mad when Oral Roberts says God is a good God. And Brother Hagin said, well, what do you want him to say? Do you want him to say that God is a bad God? And their answer was no, but he's giving people the wrong impression. Just imagine it. Our grandparents grew up in a world and in a church that did not embrace the fundamental truth about the goodness of God. And when this message was preached and became first and forefront revelation in his day, he suffered persecution. People said he was giving others the wrong impression of God. And I guess our grandparents, before this revelation was made known to the church, probably had a conflict in their mind, in their heart. Well, you know, yeah, God does good things, but who are we to say he's good because we're so afraid of we might mess up something. And so it was not a common phrase in our grandparents' generation. But I just want you to know, I am so grateful that I have been raised all my life knowing God is a good God. What a blessing. We have that revelation. Our grandparents did. Oral Roberts paid a price. The Bible says, whatever is good and perfect comes down to us from God. Everything we have that is good is a gift from God. God is not just barely good, and I'm not just barely blessed. God is super good, and I am over blessed. That's how good he is. Some people say, I've got it bad, so God can't be good. And we misrepresent God to a world that's watching. How dare we blame God for the bad, maligning his character and calling into question the goodness of God. It's always been that way, even with close followers of Christ. His own disciples dealt with this, wondering if he was good all the time or not. They were at sea. A storm came up. The boat they were in was sinking. And one of the disciples asked him, God, do you not care? My. We've struggled with it. It's human nature to struggle with this issue about the goodness of God. But I thank God for every good and perfect gift. And if it's not good, I don't blame God. If it's not good, I place the blame squarely where it belongs, and that's on the devil are on myself. Don't blame God. Don't give him credit for that which is profane. He didn't do it. There were times in our marriage when money ran out before the month. Anybody ever had that happen? But because I've always known God is a good God, my attitude was, I will trust on the goodness of God, and I know it will be all right. That happened once, more than once, to us. And we were struggling to make ends meet. God's a good God, it's going to be all right. Maybe it's just me, but I'm all into this. You know, I was hurting financially, but God is a good God and it's going to be all right. And we got a check in the mail while we were in dire straits. It was a check for $700. This was decades ago, so worth a lot more now. From the state of California. We did not earn it. They did not owe it, so far as we knew. And they had to track us down and give it to us in South Carolina. $700. God is a good God. You know so much of my story, and I know a good bit about your story, most of you. I know you know he's good. But Brenda's diagnosis a couple of years ago, I had gone with her to every doctor's appointment from the very first time something suspicious showed up. I went with her, one, which led to another, and then another, and then another, and then a biopsy, and then another, and we were all great and good, and confident. We'd hear the doctor say, "It's nothing." And I was with her when the doctor came in and said, "It's cancer." It hit us. We are human. Please. Just as human, pinch your own self, and, you know. Don't pinch me, but if you pinch your own self and feel it, just know I would too. So we were stunned. We were shocked. We had counted on a good report from the doctor, and then now it's cancer. I'm sending you to see a surgeon. But even then, first thing I said to Brenda, this is going to be okay. I've always known God is good. Now, we're a winner either way. I remember Evelyn Miles saying the doctor had given her a horrible diagnosis and surgery would be the only hope, and she probably wouldn't make it through the surgery because of health issues. And she said to the doctor, "Well, it's a win-win for me. If the surgery works and you take care of it, I'm fine. If the surgery don't, I go to heaven. It's win-win for me." But we saw the Lord walk us through that part of the journey. Now, a good report. And here's the truth. There are people in this room right now dealing with cancer, getting treatments right now, chemo, radiation right now. They're sitting among us right now. And I want you to know, God is our good God. And God is too good to be cruel and too wise to make a mistake. Another time, the goodness of God paid off for me. And you know this story. Brenda and I were celebrating our 25th wedding anniversary. We were flying back from L.A. late at night to Washington, D.C., Dulles Airport. It was the red eye we flew through the night. Got to Washington, Dulles Airport at 6 a.m. after a flight all night. We had one more flight to catch, and that was to Columbia and home. That was on the morning of September the 11th. 2001, and we were at the very airport where one of the planes that was hijacked had just taken off. We had passed the passengers probably in the terminal somewhere, them headed to doom and us being spared. I don't have answers. I don't know why it was not our plane or your plane, and it was someone else's plane. And God loves them just as much as he loves me and you. I don't know, but I do know he's too good to be cruel, and he's too wise to make a mistake, and we don't need to be blaming bad stuff on God. We're so misrepresenting God, potentially, that he's going to have to show up and represent himself before it's over. But he has us here as his ambassadors, as Pastor Brian preached one time right here when he brought a good word to us about being an ambassador of Christ. I remember being spared the tragedy that day. The whole nation was paralyzed in terror for a moment there, and we were so close to it. We were thrown in a taxi and cast out of the airport, and we passed the Pentagon on fire. Way off in the distance, we saw where another plane had hit the Pentagon, and we were so close. It reminds me one of my favorite verses in the Message translation. David wrote it in the Psalms, talking about the goodness of God and how great God is to deliver his children. And David said it like this in the Message. He grabbed me by the back of the neck, and he snatched me out of danger just in the nick of time. How good is God to do that to us? Now, if you're in church today, I don't know what you came expecting to hear. But if you're in church today, you're going to hear a blessed man brag on a good God. He's always good. And I am blessed. And that's just not something I say. It is the truth. T.D. Jakes said it like this, and when he said it, I wrote it down. I have benefited in every area of my life by knowing Jesus as my Lord. That's my story. Is that your testimony too? Have you benefited in every area of your life? How could you not with Jesus as your Lord? Now, God is so good and God is so powerful. God can create a universe from nothing, only using his words. There are people who are evolutionists, and they think they have it figured out. They have an explanation as to how everything is like it is. There was no involvement from God. We understand how it happened, they think. And for centuries, the most brilliant minds in every generation have searched for answers that will explain how the universe was created. And although they were the most brilliant minds, if they knew everything God knows, they wouldn't be searching for any answers. I choose to believe Romans 4:17 that says God calls into being that which does not exist. He is all powerful. Psalm 33 said, God spoke and the heavens were made. He spoke and it was done. We're talking about a good God who is all powerful. Now, if you don't believe there is a God, then you are your own God and you are on your own. God is so good that his goodness falls on those who don't even believe in him. The agnostics and the atheists. The Bible says he causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust alike. So if you're a believer and your next door neighbor is not, his grass is going to be just as green as your grass. Because the goodness of God cannot be confined within borders with anybody's name on it. He's good to everybody. To the atheist, the agnostics, it is his breath you're breathing right now in your lungs. We sing a song, it's your breath that I breathe. So I pour out my praise to you only. I want to speak just for a minute today to those here and watching whose need is so great. I know some of you know what you're going through. I don't know everything all of you are going through. Some is so painful you've not shared with anybody, nobody, but real and painful to you. God knows. And if you're here today with a need that you feel is so great, I've got to tell you, our God is famous for coming through big time for his people. One of my favorite sayings goes like this. When God wants to do something great, he starts with a difficulty. But when God wants to do something truly magnificent, he begins with an impossibility. That's how good he is and how powerful he is. And he has a long track record of goodness to his people. Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 7 tells us how good God was in the Old Testament even. It says, for the Lord your God has blessed you in everything you have done. He has watched your every step through this great wilderness. During these 40 years, the Lord your God has been with you, and you have lacked nothing. There should be a wake-up call for somebody. Somebody that just, I don't know, last time God did anything for me. I wished I knew about the goodness of God. Let me think. Honey, he has watched every step you've taken all your life. You have lacked nothing. The devil's playing a head trip on a lot of people these days, even telling some people, like Job's wife told him, you're in this pitiful shape. You trust in God and still you... Why don't you curse God and die? Death would be better than living like this. Oh, what a head trip. I choose to believe God's a good God. I got problems. I got issues. I got real life going on just like you do. I'm not perfect any more than you are. But in spite of everything else, God is a good God and I'm a blessed man. How good was God in the Old Testament? It was almost like he dropped 3 million of his people in the middle of the Amazon jungle, the wilderness, without a compass, without a GPS. And God led them through the thick of that wilderness with a cloud that hovered over them every day. And when the cloud moved, they would know, let's follow the cloud. God's leading us this way. And then at night, when they couldn't see a cloud in the sky, God would keep them warm all night long with a fire, a pillar of fire. It heated them on cold nights, and it also guided them in the night. When the fire would move, they would move with it. And they were out there. There was no McDonald's, no Burger King, no Hardee's. No Applebee's. Where are you going for lunch? Anybody tell me out now, where are you going for lunch? Huh? Rogers. Where? Huh? Where? Oh, okay. There was none of that out there. No Starbucks. How did they make it? And how good was God even in the old covenant? And the new one is much better. But how good was it? He fed them free delivery, manna every day. They didn't have to work for it, plant, harvest, pay for it. But he just fed his people. He kept them alive under the worst of circumstances. And when they were thirsty and could not find water when it was necessary, God would give them fresh water to drink from a solid rock. And then when his people got in trouble and an enemy was about to kill them, God was so good. He parted the Red Sea and let his people, 3 million of them, walk across the dry riverbed of the Red Sea. And then when they were safe on the other side, God is so good with timing. He can be 4 days late and still on time. But when God's people were safe on the other side and the enemy army was chasing hard after them and they were now in the middle of the riverbed, with the walls of water on both sides, God let the wall break and all of God's enemies were drowned by a supernatural miracle. God has always been good. And he's rich in mercy. This one's very special to me. How many times have you blown it, made a mistake, done something horrible, knowing immediately the shame and the sin that was heavy on your shoulders when you did it, and you did not get what you deserved for doing? God is rich in mercy. There have been times I've blown it, messed up so bad. God could have written me off, and God could have thrown me on the trash heap. But the Bible says a righteous man may fall seven times, and the Lord will lift him up. And you are looking at a righteous man this morning. Don't take that out of context. If you're a believer in Jesus, if you're born again by his Spirit, if he's the Lord of your life, and I believe he is, I'm looking at a sanctuary filled with righteous men and women, because the word righteousness is defined as having a right standing before God. And I am in right standing before God. I trust you are. If not, you can be in just a few minutes. Now, the Bible says a man in right standing before God may fall, and the Lord will lift him up and deliver you and restore you. Isaiah the prophet said it like this. How good is God? Let me just tell you how good. Isaiah said, instead of your shame, you shall be given double honor. Only God, and only a good God, could say, I see what you did. You know better. I'm going to deal with you harshly. Only God would say, you ought to be ashamed, but you know, I'm going to cover that. And because you believe in me, and because you trust me, instead of the shame you rightly deserve, I'm going to give you double honor. I'm going to help you get back on track and redeem this. How good is God that he will give us double honor instead of deserving shame? Maybe it's just me. And then God is good in another way. Romans 14 and 17 says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Listen to me. The kingdom of God is a right standing before him. That's righteousness. And peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. I want to make a statement that will shock you, probably almost as much as Oral Roberts shocked the world in the 50s when he said, God is a good God. And here's the statement. If you are a child of God, you will never be any more righteous than you are right now. Are you going to wait until you go to heaven to be in right standing before God? No. When are you placed in right standing before God? When you believe on Jesus. When you realize the best I have to offer is filthy rags, but God is so good, he'll give me the gift of righteousness. He will give me the gift of being placed in right standing before him by faith. Now listen, I'm telling you, if you are a son or a daughter of God, you're already the righteousness of God, and you will never be any more righteous than you are right now. Listen, I did not say you would never be any more perfect. Dear God, for my sake, I hope I can be more perfect than I am right now. I know some of you. I wish some of you once in a while could be more perfect. Yeah, I didn't say I'll never be any more perfect. That's not the definition of righteousness. Righteousness is about being in right standing before God by faith. Now, I want to tell you something else nobody else has ever said, probably, and so I'm not sure it's just me or not. But I believe there are two kinds of righteousness. One is not what I'm talking about right now. Self-righteousness. I'm not talking about earning your place before God. Self-righteousness is sickening. I have known for a while now, it ain't working for me. Self-righteousness. No, that's one kind of righteousness, is you trying your best to be good enough to stand before God. That's not the way. The second kind, and the kind I'm going with, is the righteousness through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, there's a scripture on it, Romans 3:22. It says, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. That's the kind of righteousness I'm talking about. It's a right standing before God by faith in Jesus. Now, I'll give you a couple more scriptures. Romans 4:3 says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him as righteousness. Let me tell you what it means. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him a right standing before God. God said this, Abraham, I have made incredible promises to you. Everybody else in the world thinks it's unbelievable what I've promised you. But Abraham, God said, if you're going to believe me and trust me this much, I'm going to place you in right standing before my presence. And that was before Christ. The power of faith and believing God. You are placed in right standing before God, not by anything you do, but by what you believe, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll give you another verse, Romans 10:10. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. Let's reword it by definition. With the heart, man believes unto a right standing before God. With the heart, man believes. And God says, if you're going to believe me and trust me like that, I'm going to place you in right standing with me. It's all by faith. The work has been done. He did it all, and all we have to do is believe and receive. How good is God that he would give us the gift of a right standing before him? How good is God that he would give us life and breath and a heartbeat, that he would give us the capacity to love and forgive and minister and receive ministry? How good is God that he would put his spirit in us and say to us, it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. How good is God that he would be mindful of us, mortal men, and give us such a great life, not after we're in heaven only. But David the psalmist said, if I had not believed I would see the goodness of God while I'm alive on earth, I'd have given up a long time ago. That's how good God is. And if he's ever been good in the past, he's still good today because he changes not. And if he's ever been good to any one person, he'll be just as good to you and me because he's no respecter of persons. But I am standing on faith in what Christ did for me to put me in a position of right standing before God. It's all because God is a good God, and we need to represent him well to a world that's needing to hear that truth. Would you stand with me, please?